But today I want to preach out of Psalms chapter 77. Let's begin to read in verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning now thanking you and that for another wonderful time to come into your house. Lord, I pray that the choir singing has blessed your name and brought glory to you in the special singing. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that's in our life. Lord, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ who came and died for us so that we might be saved. And Lord, we ask this morning if there's somebody here lost that you would save them and bring them to a place and that of repentance. But Lord, it's preaching time and we certainly not just stand in need of you this morning. God, more than what we could ever tell, more than what we know. And Lord, we just need you to come by. Would you please touch our feeble attempt, our feeble body this morning, and that from heaven anoint us afresh and give us unction and that from the Holy One this morning. And Lord, we thank you for it already. God, we pray that we might preach what you've laid upon our hearts, no more, no less, that your people might find help and that in the Scripture and that the sinner might find Calvary and that to be saved. Lord, I'm just feeble before you this morning and can't do anything in my own. But Lord, I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and we're looking to you now. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Would you please meet with us for just a little while, and we'll give you the glory for it all, save that sinner's nearest tail, and keep hindrances far away. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated this morning. As we look in Psalms chapter 77, as the psalmist David was having a time of battle in his life. If you look right here, he starts out in verse 1, talks about how that he cried unto the Lord. And in verse 2, talks about his day of trouble. He said, I sought the Lord. He said, in my day of trouble, I looked for God. He said, my soul ran in the night. He said, this thing kept me up all night long. He said, and it ceased not. And he said, I was in a spot, in a place where my soul refused to be comforted. You know, that's a bad place to be when your soul refuses to be comforted. When it seems like you can find no help, find no comfort, and that even from God. As a matter of fact, in verse 3, he said, I remembered God, and he said, and I was troubled. He said, I remembered God, but yet I was troubled in the fact of remembering him. He said, I complained to God, but he said, my spirit was overwhelmed in me. How many times have we been like that? Listen, that we wanted God. I know that I preached probably. I'm not going to tell you anything new if you've been around here any time at all. I'm probably not going to tell you anything new that you don't already know. But David said, I was looking for God and I couldn't find him. He said, my soul, I was disturbed. He said, I needed some help and that to come by. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed. He said in verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. David said, I didn't even know what to say. You ever been in a place in life where you just don't know what to say? Where you don't know what to do? I remember a long time ago making a statement from here. There's been even times in my life that I was afraid to make any decisions, whether they were physical decisions or spiritual decisions, for the fact that I was afraid that I might mess it up. Boy, I mean, it seemed like God had hit himself and trouble had came. And he said right here, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Well, I want you to look what the psalmist did right here. He says, I call to remembrance. He said in verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He done something right here. And he goes on to say over in verse 10, he said, it's my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And in verse 12, he said, I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doing. Hey, can I tell you, when we get in a place like the psalmist did right here, when no matter what he prayed, it didn't seem like God heard. No matter what he done, it didn't seem like God was going to come by. Hey, when it seemed like, he talks on down in verse 7, he said, is the Lord going to cast off forever? He said, will he be favorable no more? Listen, I love it when God comes by and speaks to our heart and helps us, but there comes dry time. I preached on that last Sunday for just a little while, that it gets a little dry, and boy, it seems like God ain't nowhere around. And all you want to happen is for God to roll back heaven and give a little glimpse of the glory that you've once seen. Now, if you ain't ever been there, bless your heart, and I hope you don't ever get there, but I've been there. I know what it's like, and I'm there now. Amen. Listen, I don't like it when God hides himself. You know what I do? You know what made me think of these verses right here? Well, I believe the Lord did. You know, he went on to say in verse 8, is his mercy clean gone? Has his promise failed forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? You know, he said, is God not ever going to speak again? Is God not ever going to come by and let you feel him again and let him see him again? You know what David said? He said, I remembered some things. I want you to look right here with me just a minute or two as I preach. And I want to preach on remembering some times. On remembering some times when the Lord has come by. Now listen, first of all, we all need to realize that there comes times in our life when it does get a little dark. Listen, that's the truth. If you've lived any time at all in a Christian life, you know it gets a little dark from time to time. You fight battles, you climb mountains. Listen, you live in the valley. The sun refuses to shine. Nighttime seems to be there. Hey, listen, and God don't seem like he's going to come by and smile anymore. And saying to yourself that this too shall pass don't seem like it's going to be good enough. And if you ain't careful, you'll want to give up and you'll want to quit. If you ain't ever been there, then you put this in the back of your head and in the front of your heart, and you remember what the preacher's preaching, that there's coming a day, if you're going to live long enough for God, that's going to happen. That God's just going to get real quiet. And you know what happens when it gets real quiet? We wonder where he's at. Now, can I tell you this right here? He's still right where he's always been. Amen. Hey, listen, this morning, you take your Bible sometimes. Well, take your Bible and go to the book of Job chapter 23 as I get started this morning. Go to Job chapter 23. I love this passage of Scripture. Preached out of it several times. But out of Job chapter 23, and if there's ever a man that probably wondered where God was, it was Job. I mean, one day everything's going good for Job. Everything's working right. He loves God. But all of a sudden, everything he had has been taken away from him. Everything that he held dear, I'm telling you, was taken away. And here he is, sitting in the dust and the ashes. He's lost his finances. He's lost his family. Even his wife come out there. You know what she said? That thou still retain thine integrity. Why don't you curse God and die? And he looked up from the ashes and the dust out there with boils from the heel of his feet to the crown of his head. And he said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Listen, he never that did sin against God with his lips, the Bible says. But here Job is in Job chapter 23. And most of y'all ought to know this verse or verses. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He said, boy, if I could find God, I sure enough would get there. He said, if I could get to the throne that's in heaven, listen, how many of us have prayed, and it seems like that it's failed, and that on deaf ears. Let me tell you, you ever done that? You ever done that and just felt like God didn't hear? That God ain't nowhere around. If you're in sin, he probably wasn't, by the way. But I'm talking about folk that's living for God and it's saved. He said, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. Job said he wouldn't be against me, but he would help me if I could get to him. Thou the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. I want you to notice what Job said. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, one thing that you need to remember this morning, as you may not be able to see God, but I guarantee you God sees you this morning. Job said, hey, out of all these things, whether it's forward, backward, on the left, and on the right, hey, I may not perceive him, I may not behold him, I may not be able to find him, but there's one thing about it, he knows the way that I take. He's watching me. Can I tell you this morning, you may feel like God's forgot you, and he don't care for you, that your trouble's going to get the best of you, but I guarantee you he's watching you this morning, and he knows the way that we take this morning. So what do you want to preach on this morning, preacher? I want to look at two things that we're to remember this morning. I want to look at, first of all, that the psalmist said in verse 5, I consider the days of old, the years of ancient times. First of all, number one, he remembered God's word. When we get in them places like that, when it seems like God has hid himself from us, I want you to remember God's word. Psalms chapter 44, he said, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. Can I tell you that the God that is in this book right here is still the same God that we serve today? Hey, listen, when he said in the book of Malachi, for I am the Lord, and I change not, O you sons of Jacob. When he said in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's still the same God. So I look back in that book, and I begin to read and see some stories how he never left nor forsake his people. He not one time ever left anybody that was his. It may seem like he's going to. It may seem like he did. Listen, I'm sure Job felt like God had forgot all about him and that he couldn't find him. He said, if I could just come out of where he was. Ever been there? So I take this book when I get to feeling like that sometimes. In the book of Deuteronomy, he said, "Remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, and thy elders and they will tell thee." I go back in this book and I begin to read how the children of Israel stood before the Red Sea out there. And I mean, no way forward. And how the Egyptian army was behind them. But yet God didn't leave them when they were leaving. I remember the time when after they'd crossed the Jordan River and they end up battling and fighting against King Og and King Sihon, how that God brought that battle to an end and won. You remember a little minute story in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, when God has them out there conquering and that Canaan land. And they come up and they've conquered Ai and they've conquered Jericho. And the Bible says that they're going to go over from Gilgal. And Gibeon, the city Gibeon, has made a league, and that was Joshua. And so five kings is going to come up and take Gibeon, and they're going to fight against them. And so they cry out to Joshua, and here comes Joshua and all the children of Israel, and they're going to fight. And there wasn't enough hours in the day to fight. And you know what Joshua said? "Sun, stand still." He said, "Moon, you stay in the place where you're at and don't move." There's a man that wants to fight right there. Hey, I'm telling you, he wanted the sun enough to be able to fight till he was done. And you know what God did? He allowed the sun to stand right where it's at. He allowed the moon to stay right where it's at until Joshua got done fighting the battle. So what's the big deal about that? Hey, if the God in heaven that created this whole thing was willing to stand the sun still and the moon still for Joshua, reckon what he's willing to do for you. Can't find him, preacher. Can't see him. If you read the book of Job, you'll find out that Job was a man that loved God. The Bible said that he eschewed evil. In other words, he ran from it, wanted to live right. And all that bad stuff happened to Job. And it took 42 chapters. And by the way, there's 42 months in the tribulation period, and it's amazing that there's 42 chapters in the book of Job. Job is a tribulation book, by the way. Gives you a good example of what the nation of Israel is going to go through the tribulation period. But you'll find that Job, and through all his trials, it may seem like God hid, but he was there. He saw King David through every trial that he went through. If you read Psalms 42, I can remember when I first learned Psalms 42. I'm not talking about reading it and memorizing it. I'm talking about learning Psalms 42. When he talked about over there, as the heart paineth after the water brook, so paineth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? Preachers, your life, my life ain't always like that, but it does get dry sometimes. And you begin to wonder where God is. And get a little concerned about things. So he saw King David through it all. He saw the Apostle Paul. Well, if there was ever a man that suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was him. How much suffering do we do? We need to remember, out of all this book, that we're to consider the days of old and the years of ancient times. Go back and read this book and see what he done for others. Hey, listen, what he done for the patriarchs and the matriarchs that's in this book. And friend, I'll guarantee you, he's not changed, and he'll do the same thing for you. The psalmist David asked the question in verse 8. He said, "Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore?" All them promises in this book, is God really going to keep them, preacher? Can we really hang on to them? I've got a message I preach sometimes. I think I preached it twice in 15 years on just tying a knot in the end of the rope and holding on. Not holding on for salvation. Listen, he's doing all the holding for that. Amen. Boy, I tell you what a great day when folk realize they ain't got to hold on for salvation. Ain't that right? But I tell you, they some days you just tie end and tie a knot in the end of the rope and just hold on and wait for God to come by. And you just want Him to show up. Hey, listen, I need Him to just breathe on me and come by and help me. And sometimes I feel like the psalmist, where he said, doth His promise fail forevermore? Has He give up? Hey, listen, not only do we read this book to realize what He's done for others, but we read it in that for the promises that He's made us, where He said in Hebrews chapter 13, when He made such a promise, says that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I preached that to them over at the nursing home last Friday, not this past Friday, but last Friday. And I believe it done me more good than it done them. I hope it done them good. Well, if there's anybody ever needs to realize that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, it's them sitting over there in the nursing home. You put me in there, I feel like I'd been forsook. Amen. Hey, listen, by the way, you don't got to be old to get there. Amen. There's a young lady in there now. I met her Friday as I was over there preaching and visiting. She's 3 years younger than I am. Had a stroke. Got 2 kids, 2 and 4 years old, in the nursing home. You ain't going to be old to have a stroke, man. Well, you better have everything right with the Lord. But the promises. Can we really, preacher, can we really depend on His promises and that to come through? What about in Psalms chapter 30 where He said that His anger endured but for a moment and in His favors life and weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can we really believe that promise, preacher? Hey, what about in John 14 where He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Can we believe that and trust that? Yes, you can. I can. You know, sometimes I just forget some things. And I got to be reminded of them. When He hides Himself, or I felt like He's hiding Himself. You remember that old poem that was wrote years ago? Was it Footprints in the Sand? What talks about two sets of footprints going through the sand. And then all of a sudden there was one set of footprints in the sand. And the writer asked the Lord, where was you during that time when there was only one set of footprints in the sand? And the Lord simply responds, that wasn't your footprints, that was mine, for I was carrying you during that time. Whew. Listen, remember not only what God's done for others in this book, but the promises that He's made. When He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, it is sufficient for you. I think sometimes we go through these places and struggles and problems for God to be able to strengthen us and make us better and try us. You know what, Job, if you go back and you look in the book of Job, chapter 23, I didn't read the rest of that, but you know what he said? He said, but He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, listen, Job realized that it was just a trial. He realized that God was trying to make him better than what he was. He was trying to get him to trust Him and lean on Him. He said, when it's all said and done, I'll come forth like gold when it's done. Sometimes God gets us in a place where He can just try us and bring us forth like gold. 1 Peter chapter 4 said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. We think it's strange when God disappears. You may not think God ever does that. You ain't read your Bible enough and you ain't lived for Him long enough. But you know what we need to do? I was teaching these kids this morning down in their Sunday school class. We was over there looking where he said in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all you care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know how you do that? You do all that by faith. You cast your care on Him by faith. You know what? There come a day in Abraham's life that God told Abraham, get up and go. And you know what the Bible said? Romans 4 and 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You know why we worry too much? Because we just don't got faith in God. I know that ain't correct English, but we just don't have any. Hey, listen, you know why you need to read your Bible and study your Bible? Because there's going to come a day when you're going to need to lean on it. You know why you need to go ahead and put it in your children now? Not only is it going to lead them to Christ, where that they might get saved. Amen. Not only is it going to point them the way of Calvary, but there's going to come a day that they're going to need something to lean on. And a song ain't going to be good enough. And a good word from the preacher, or a good word from you, ain't going to be good enough. But that word of God will always be good enough. You need to put it in them. We need to remember the psalmist said right here, he said, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. He talks about right there in verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Every time I read something about the nighttime, I'm always reminded of Psalm 17 and 3, where he said over there at one point, for thou hast visited me in the night. Night didn't go away. The Lord just come by and visited. Well, then the psalmist David went on to say this, or the psalmist did. He said, but I, in verse 10, will remember the years of thy right hand of the Most High. He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Not only do I believe that we need to remember what the Bible has to say, but we need to remember the work that God has done in our life. Not only in my life, but maybe for others. I watch people sometimes and wonder how they're going to respond to things. And maybe things that I've never went through. I go to funeral homes a lot. And we go through the receiving line, me and my wife does. But I can't tell you what it's like to lose my mom and daddy. I still got them. Still got them both. I can't tell you what it's like to lose a spouse, still got mine. And so when I go through these lines, and listen, I think about that. I know one thing, I understand this, that you're morbid, preacher. I try not to think this way, but I know if everything goes the natural way things go, that I'm going to have one of them receiving lines one day. I'm going to have to bury my mom and bury my dad. I know that day's coming out there somewhere, barring the Lord Jesus Christ coming back before that day's come. And I try not to think that way. But you know, I sit there and I look at people and I say, boy, I wonder how they go through this. And for the Christian, I know how they go through it. It's by the grace of God. And you know what I know? I look at that and I remember and I say, boy, they made it through it. And I was talking to a gentleman the other day. He's still got his mom and dad. He's 52, 53 years old and still got his. And we were talking about it. Somebody we know, their parents had passed away. And I said, I know that day's coming, and I know that I'll fall to pieces. I know that. But I do know this, that other people's mom and dads have passed away, and God saw them through it and kept them. And you, I'm not saying you ever get used to it, but I'm saying that I watch others, and I look and I see how God has helped people, and I'll remember that. Hey, listen, I may not know what it's like right now, but I know that I can look and I can see how God has helped others, and I know that He'll help me. Maybe it's a time of sickness, how that God has helped somebody else come through it. Maybe their child was sick or they were sick, or maybe a time of depression. And by the way, that's real, by the way. How God has seen them through that time. Help those that went in service for Him. And when it seemed like that the devil was going to afflict them and persecute them beyond any further going, God showed up. So I look at others and I remember what God has done for them. But then what helps me more than anything is to remember the times
that God has come by for me. For me.
You say, well, preacher, you can't live in the past. No, I can't live in the past, and you can't live in the past either. But you do need to remember some things that God's done for you in the past. The psalmist said right here, he said, I'm going to remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'm going to remember His works. Hey, listen, all the times that I've prayed, from my heart, and God come by. What are you talking about? I can remember right after we started the first shortwave radio broadcast that we're on. I can remember that I was being bothered about that thing. And man, I got down there on the floor in my study and I said, Lord, I'm going to have some help with this. I mean, we're paying a little over $4,000 a year and that to broadcast halfway around the world and back. And I said, Lord, I just need to have some help on to know that we're doing the right thing. We was about 3 months into it. And I bet it wasn't. I bet that was at the end of the week. And by Wednesday night, I come in and Miss Evelyn, she's holding a letter in her hand. And that from Nigeria. Nigeria. Little old church right here in the middle of East Tennessee is getting a letter from Nigeria where we'd shot it all the way out of Nashville. All the way to Nigeria. And you know what that done? That just satisfied my heart. And God put a stamp on it. I was telling these kids down there in the Sunday school class, I remember when we needed money one time. And I swung out on that 6x6 post there at the house, looked up to heaven, said, God, don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. And by that evening, He had done it. Hey, I can remember her getting her MRI, and we always need money. I don't know why. We always need money. And I was worried. Worried. And what I tell you this morning, you don't worry, right? I was worried about how we was going to pay for that thing. Her insurance wasn't going to pay for that MRI, and I was more concerned about how we was going to pay for it than what the MRI was going to show. Ain't that a good husband? But I hadn't sat there no more than 30 seconds in that little old waiting room. And on the other end of that phone, when it rung on my side, was a job sitting there waiting as soon as I could start to go to work. Making more money than what that MRI was going to cost us. There's been times that I've stood behind this pulpit and God's come by and give it to me faster then I could take it. Seems like heaven opened up. I'm talking about the times when He's come by. I remember when we wanted to build our house. And I crawled up right here on that old mortars bench that we still got downstairs. And I remember telling the Lord, whatever you want to do, that'll be fine with me. And He done in 3 weeks what we couldn't do in 3 years. And got us ready to build. I mean, there's just times after times that I can tell you prayer after prayer and where He's come by and He has showed up. That may not comfort you, but it comforts me. Because I know that stuff was real. It helps me want to just keep on going. Just a little further. He may be hid right now. This ain't the first time I've ever been there. Probably won't be the last time. I remember Brother Ted used to tell me. He'd say, son, he'd say, that's just like them quiet times. He said, I call them quiet times. That God just, he said, if you'll just go to your study and pray and read your Bible, he said, God will give you something. You know what? I found that out to be true. But He's come by for me. And He said, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old. He said, I will meditate also on all thy work. He said, I'll think on that. I'll remember that. But you know what He said there at the end of verse 12? He said,
and talk of all thy doings. One of the greatest things you can do is just begin to tell what the Lord's done for you. As my wife stood up here and sung today about the blessings of the Lord. About the blessings of the Lord. Ain't God been good to us? Even in His quiet times, ain't God been good to us when it seems like He ain't going to come by? Hey, I can remember I was in one of them places bad. I mean bad, one Sunday morning where it seemed like God wasn't going to come by. It's probably been 10 years ago now that I was in one of them places. And the old road was still down here before they made it the way it is now. And I can remember turning in. I know most of y'all have heard the story. I'll tell it again, though. It's good for me to hear it. I remember turning in. And I don't remember what me and my wife had listened to on the radio that morning as we turned and come up through here or as we was coming to church. I can't remember. May not even had the radio on. But I remember turning and just turning the radio on and coming up this little short stretch of road till we got here. And I remember Brother Ted being on the radio and I remember him saying all he said was something to this fact of dear Christian, I know that you're in one of them places, but he said, just hold on. Just hang on. 30 seconds. I don't know what he preached the rest of that thing. But just the end of that message was good enough for me. See, I remember those times. Remember those times. So, preacher, I ain't never had those times. And you better open your Bible and get to reading. Because it's going to destroy you. What I teach you kids this morning, it'll consume you if you'll let it, won't it? You know what Hannah done? Hannah in the Old Testament, Samuel's mother. The Bible said that she fretted. And that means to wire away at. That word fret means to wire away at. And it had consumed her. And so she just went and took it to the Lord. So, preacher, I've prayed and I've sought God and I want Him to come by. And it just seems like I'm like David. I'm like the psalmist where I ask, you know, is the Lord not going to be favorable? Is He not ever going to smile anymore? Has He forgotten me? Well, if you ain't careful, you'll get in a pity party and think that God's forgot you. But can I tell you this morning, He ain't. You just remember what He's done. Just remember. You may not see Him move right now, but you just remember what He's done in the past. And here's what we do. We keep on doing what we know to do. You don't quit doing, right? You just keep on doing what you know to do. And you know what happens? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. It'll eventually pass. May not help you to hear that right now, but you just keep on doing what you know to do. And just keep remembering. Just keep remembering. The greatest thing that you can remember today is that day that Jesus saved you. I look back on that day a lot when I get in places like this. I look back on that day and, boy, thank Him that I've got a day that I can remember that I'm His and He is mine and He ain't going to leave me. I'm His forever. Thank God for that. Let's bow our heads this morning. Fellas, if we come and get a verse of invitation this morning, just need to remember some things. Remember the works of old. Meditate on the works of old. Remember what God's done for others. I've sat and watched some of you all just go through some things that I wouldn't want to go through. And I've watched God be faithful to you. Watched God be faithful to David in the Old Testament and Job and the Apostle Paul. Watched Him be faithful. Watched Him be faithful to you. But then I've remembered all those times that He's been faithful to me. Friend, you may be in one of them places today to where God has just kind of hid His face. If you need to come pray, I want you to come. I want you to come and seek God. He'll help you. Say, preacher, I'm not in that place. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Because there'll come a time when it seems like He said, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, there'll come a time that it seems like He might be hid. But you rest assured of what Job said, that He knoweth the way that I take, and He's going to see us through it. Them boys was on a ship, the apostles was, disciples was. As we looked at this in Sunday school in the young people's class this morning, as the storm arose, and he's asleep, and they come and they woke him up, and they said, Master, care us not that we perish. Oh, he knew what was going on. But he stood out on the bow of the boat and said, Peace, be still. Why is it that thou art so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. We just got to believe and trust God, and that'll wipe away our fear. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Help during this invitation. If there's somebody that needs help, I pray they'd come. They'd come and pray and seek you and trust you. There may be somebody here today that's never been saved. Would you let them come? That they can remember that day, have a day. Today could be their day that they get saved. And I pray that they'll move. Lord, there may be somebody here that's just on their last. I mean, they're going down for the third count. And Lord, they're about to give it up. Say enough's enough. That it ain't worth living this Christian life. It's always worth living it. And Lord, I pray that you'll help them. Help during this invitation for these things. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.